Back in May, WGLT interviewed an Illinois State University of biomathematician, Al J. Ackman, about what his model projected for COVID-19's U.S. death toll by mid-August. Ackman says it would be at least 170,000 deaths. Here we are in mid-August. That was exactly right. Ackman tells Ryan Denham it's bittersweet for his model to bear out with such accuracy.
On one hand, as a scientist, it feels good to know that the methods we are employing are proven to be meaningful. And then on the other hand, as a citizen, watching the price we are paying as a result of the ignorance displayed towards the science-based recommendations makes me really feel sad.
So aside from your model, generally speaking, how have the most commonly cited models performed up to this point? How reliable have their projections been?
Yeah, I think I need to emphasize that models are not magic. So they are as good as what goes into them. When scientifically solid modeling approaches and correct assumptions are employed with good data, the resulting predictions are bound to be accurate. During my interview with you in April, as you also pointed out at the time that the CDC estimate for mid-August was around 147,000 versus my forecast of 170,000, which turned out to be more accurate. The CDC analysis was based on old data that failed to account for the effects of opening up without the infrastructure for contact tracing, testing of asymptomatic individuals. I guess it also suffered from a flaw common to all models based solely on statistics, which is an underestimation of the number of asymptomatic carriers. Statisticians are very careful with things they can measure, but careless about things they cannot measure. That bias has led statisticians to an incorrect estimate of the basic reproductive number.
What does your model suggest about the death tolls coming this fall? If you can look ahead to October, November.
Right.
What are you seeing there?
Yeah. So regarding the death toll for this coming fall, we are now in a little bit different place than we were in March. Now we know more about the dynamics of the disease. We understand the infectiousness of the virus better. We have obviously more data about the virus public behavior and virus public interactions. And healthcare providers are getting better at treatment options. Now we have new medicines that are being tried. I read that the healthcare professionals now are getting better even using the ventilators on patients. So as a result, all model forecasts seem to be converging towards a similar numbers now, and which is around 250,000 by mid-October, and that's consistent with my model's predictions as well.
What is the way, if we don't want to see 250,000 deaths by mid-October, what are the levers that we could pull to make that happen?
Oh, this one is easy. First and foremost is the testing and contact tracing. That's how South Korea, who had the first infection back in January, the same day as our first infection, and their death toll is minuscule compared to ours, because they had an extensive and sophisticated testing and contact tracing policies in place. Vigilant social distancing is the lever that I would still strongly pull. And of course, the upcoming and hopefully extensive vaccination program. One of the concepts that COVID has introduced to our daily conversations is herd immunity. But we need to remember that herd immunity is achieved through vaccination.
Yeah, so herd immunity is not just a product of, you know, look at a place like New York, just getting having a bunch of people get it and survive it is not what herd immunity is what you're
right, saying. Right. After all, with vaccinations, we are really infecting people, but we are infecting in a controlled sense. And we have a very good working example of how not to do the herd immunity. That's Sweden. Right, they tried this model, and their that toll turned out to be higher than their neighboring countries.
That's ISU professor Al J. Ackman speaking with Ryan Denham about his COVID-19 modeling.